Good morning, everyone. We're glad of your presence and fellowship this Sabbath morning. I want to welcome you to the Lord's house at our morning service. We're going to think in the meeting and in the message today about your burdens. So let me just read to you those comforting words of the psalmist. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So we pray the meeting and the message especially will be of help and encouragement and comfort to your hearts today. The hymn 439 is our opening praise. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Think of the words of the chorus. They're in keeping with our theme, following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. So 439, please, and we'll stand as we sing.
Can never tell.
Let's just turn to the Lord together in prayer. We remember the promise he has said, call unto me and I will answer thee. So we're going to call upon the Lord with the assurance of his promise. He'll be pleased to answer our cries. Pray that even today in these meetings that we'll see God work and answer our prayers. We're thankful, Father, to be in your house. We're thankful for health and strength that has brought us to this Sabbath morning meeting. We do praise thee, Father, that we can say that the Lord is my shepherd. We want to thank thee for each one in the meeting that knows the Lord Jesus, that has received him personally as their Savior. We're glad, Father, we're able to say that the words of this hymn are our testimony, that we're following Jesus ever day by day. And Lord, we want to pray, help us to follow thee fully. Help us to follow thee wholly. We pray that you'll speak to us today from your word. We pray for a challenge, even from the scriptures. We ask, Father, that you'll encourage us on with thyself. We pray that you'll lead us on just a little further. We do praise thee that you haven't left us to make our way through this world on our own. We praise thee for one who is our shepherd, one who is our guide. And Lord, we would ask at the outset of this new week that you will lead us and guide us through this Sabbath day, through these meetings. We want to commit ourselves into your hands as well for the week that lies ahead. We ask thee, Father, to remember all of the activities of the church here. As a congregation, we lift them up before thee. We want to pray for the blessing of God to be upon them. We remember the Sunday school and the Bible classes that have taken place today already. Lord, we thank you for every child, every young person of this church. We pray for the hand of God to be upon them. We pray, Father, that there might be young people that are saved early in life. We pray you'll save every child of this congregation. We're mindful, Father, even of this time of holiday from school. Thank you for watching over the children during the half term. Remember those that are absent from us because of the holidays, even today. And we pray be near to them, Father, and bless them. We pray that you'll keep them as well. Remember the children as they go back to school, even in the week that is ahead. Lord, remember the laws that have been brought in our land, those evil laws. We think, Father, of things that will be taught to the children that are grieving to thyself, contrary to the teaching of your word. We pray for help to be given to Christian principals and teachers. Give them strength for these days. We pray that you'll use them mightily in the schools. We pray for the intervention of God. Father, even in this matter, we know that you're the Almighty. Even that verse we considered at the beginning of the prayer, call unto me and I will answer thee. And Lord, we ask thee to answer us, even with regard to these laws that are being imposed. We pray for divine intervention. We pray for the overturning of the plans of our government. We pray that you'll keep our children just in these days. Lord, we ask thee to lead them on with yourself. We pray that you'll lead them in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake, to your praise and to your glory. Help the parents in these days as they bring the little ones up as well and as they guide them. We pray that they would know the help of God. We pray that all our families here would know your presence in their homes. And we pray that you'll visit them with salvation, that every member of the family would know Christ. We remember, Father, the activities tomorrow. Bless the parent and toddler group, those that will come in. We pray even for the adults that attend those meetings, that they might be spoken to. Remember the committee as it meets tomorrow night. May the presence and help of God be known and felt. And the bright hours on Tuesday night, we ask thee to encourage them as well. Send in new children from both the city here and from the Killaloe area. Lord, remember us in the midweek service. Give us a spirit of prayer. We pray for a greater burden of prayer to be upon our hearts and upon the congregation, even, Father, upon the church as a whole at this time. We pray that you'll breathe upon us We ask thee, Father, give us that desire to seek thee for a greater experience of your power and blessing upon our witness at this time. We're mindful of the young people too. We thank you for all of the young people of the church. We pray that you'll encourage them. We pray that you'll guide them, show them your will for their lives, especially as they come to the end of their schooling, the end of their education. We pray that you would make it clear to them, Father, how you'd have them spend the remainder of their life upon this earth. Keep them in the centre of your will. We pray that you'll use them to your glory. We ask thee to add to the youth fellowship as well. We're mindful, Father, of this time of the year of remembrance as we look back and we think of how you've kept this land, this nation, how good you've been to us, the great deliverances that we've known. We want to acknowledge that even in the words of the hymn writer, O God, our help in ages past and our hope for years that are to come. We thank you too, Father, for your hand upon the wedding here on Thursday. We remember Gillian and John. We do thank you, Father, for prayer answered for the weather. We can testify to knowing the goodness of God in that matter in a very clear way. We commit the young couple into your hands just at this time. We ask thee, Father, to be with them as they set out in married life together. And we pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to use them greatly, mightily, in the service even of the Master. Lord, hear our cries now and our prayers. We pray you'll continue with us through the meeting. We acknowledge we need the help of God today. We need the aid of your Spirit. We pray you'll come and strengthen us now and be with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 46, please. We're going to further sing together. The 46th Psalm. Remember that in the week past, Tuesday was Reformation Day. We think of Martin Luther and the nailing of his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. It was this 46th Psalm that influenced him in the writing of his most famous hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. So we're going to sing the opening seven verses. We'll be singing six verses, but it's verses 1-7 of the first version of the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and our strength in straits, a present aid. And we'll stand again to sing, please. take the scriptures, please. We're turning this morning to the Old Testament. It's the second book of Kings, in the sixth chapter. Second Kings, chapter 6. And it's towards the end of the chapter we're going to read this morning. Beginning at verse 24. 2 Kings 6, the 24th verse. We're going to read down to the end of the chapter. Let's hear the Lord's word. Pray that he might speak to our hearts today. 2 Kings 6, 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee?" That's a tremendous statement. Take a moment just to think about it. If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? So we think of our land at this time. We certainly need the help of God, the Lord to come and intervene and help us in our circumstances. Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered. She goes on to tell a very sad, very tragic story. She answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, 'Give thy son, that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, "God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See ye," this is Elisha speaking, "see ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven.'" Remember, there's only three mentions in the Bible to the windows of heaven, and the windows of heaven been opened at the flood. In this story and in the book of Malachi, God opened the windows of heaven and poured out such a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. So he says, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Well then, just there, praying the Lord's blessing on this reading, I encourage you to take the time a little later, read the passage again. I don't know whether you noted it, how many times the word "behold" appears just in those few verses, the short section of the Word of God that we have read. Remember, the word "behold" is like a stop sign. It's to get our attention. So there's many things in that passage that God wants us to take a particular note of. So thank you for your presence in our morning meeting. We welcome you along to morning worship on this, the first Sabbath morning of the month of November, a very significant day in the history of this nation of ours, the 5th of November. We'll say a little more about that at the communion table a little later, but we acknowledge and thank God for his great deliverances that he's been pleased to favour this nation of ours with that are remembered, especially on this day. So we do welcome you all to the house of the Lord. We welcome any that are visiting with us especially. We're glad to see all the children and the young people. We appreciate your presence as well in all of our meetings. We welcome those that are watching the service as well on the live stream. May the Lord bless us all together, and especially around his word and our time of fellowship. I just remind you, there is communion immediately after the service this morning. We want to encourage you to stay if you can. Those that know the Lord, the importance of remembering the Lord's death, keeping the cross and Calvary before us. Remember the prayer meeting tonight at 6, the gospel service at 6:30. We're going to think of a very significant, very solemn theme. It is the unpardonable sin. It's a question that is often asked about what is the unpardonable sin. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? So we're going to consider that and deal with that in the gospel tonight. Remember, tomorrow, 10 in the morning, is the parent and toddler group downstairs in the church hall. Continue to make that known. 7:30 tomorrow night is the next meeting of the church committee, meeting downstairs also in the church hall. Tuesday at 6:45, both bright hours in the church hall and the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek, the prayer meeting, the Bible study. We encourage you to remember that. I hope to be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself. We encourage you to come. We encourage new folk to come along as well to the place of prayer. Friday night at 8 is our youth fellowship. We're encouraged by all that have been coming to the fellowship. We encourage the young people to come along and to bring others to the meetings as well. And our sister Hannah Carson is speaking at the meeting this Friday night. Next Lord's Day is the 12th of September. It is Remembrance Sunday. We'll be down at the Cenotaph with our brother Adrian in the will of the Lord to lay a wreath on behalf of the congregation just at the remembrance service there that begins at 11 and then up for the morning service here, God willing, at 11:30. Remember, 10:40 is the Sunday school and Bible classes. The meetings at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. The evening service will be our remembrance service. We encourage you to remember that and make it known. There will be an act of remembrance that will be observed during the evening service. So take that as an opportunity just to encourage others to come along to the evening gospel service next Sabbath evening. I hope to be preaching at both of those meetings, and remember, there is a half hour of prayer before both services. Monday the 13th, that's Monday night week at 7:30, is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church meeting in the minister's room. Remember the Radio Star broadcasts that go forth. We're doing that jointly with a number of our congregations. I'm bringing the messages again through this month of November. There'll be five messages. So we do value your prayers for the Lord's guidance and help. And pray especially for the Lord's blessing to be upon his word as it goes forth. Just to mention some items of literature to you. So the latest Vision magazine is available this morning. There's copies in the porch. There's a picture and a few details in the news section of the ordination of our three new elders that took place back in the month of June. So that's of particular interest to us here in the church in Armagh. So do take note of that. And there's also the LTBS calendar that they produce every year to help just highlight the ministry. It brings a little bit of revenue for them as well. So that's for 2024. There's copies again in the porch. Those are priced this year £4, a little cheaper than last year. Remember, last year was their 50th anniversary edition. There is a new youth devotional book that has been produced by the Mission Board. It's for young people of secondary school age and upward. It's the devotional messages to help and encourage young people in their walk with the Lord. The messages have been produced by 12 of our ministers on 12 Bible characters, so one for every month. I did the messages for April on the prophet Jonah. So the book costs £7, but the church session and committee have kindly agreed that there's a copy free for all of the young people of secondary school age and upward. So the men will give you a copy at the door as you're leaving the service. We haven't been sent enough of the devotional books for everyone, even for all of the young people. So in the case when you get to the door this morning, it'll be first come, first served. If you don't get one this morning, there is a list there on the table in the porch. Put your name on the list. We encourage the young people to do that today. We'll be able to get a few more through the week, and the will of the Lord will have them then next Lord's Day. If you would like one for yourself, or if you'd like one for some of your family, put your name on the list as well, and that'll give us just an indication of how many more of the devotionals we need to order or we need to obtain. So remember, they're £7, but it's free to all of the young people that are secondary school age and up. And the money that comes in will help our home missionaries in their evangelism. It's going to go towards buying Bibles that they can use and give out to folk that they're dealing with. So remember that that's to hand today. There's a few more copies of the Reverend Foster's little booklet, God's Purpose for Gaza. Those are just priced 40 pence. Remember how relevant it is just with events that are unfolding out there at the Middle East at this time. And there is a sheet there as well for you to put your name down if you do take one of those, to indicate just who has taken them and who has paid and so forth. The Bethany Church is having their monthly youth rally tonight at 8:45. Last month they had Mr. Paul Briggs. This month they're having his wife, Mrs. Marina Briggs, to come along and speak. They'll be speaking on the role of a wife and mother on the mission field. So that'll be very interesting, very relevant. Mrs. Marina Briggs. The singer is Joanna McCammon from the Tandragee Church. The Reverend Abernethy likes us to emphasize that there is hot food and fellowship then for everyone after the service. So we encourage the young people to go down to Bethany tonight. The Cookstown Church is having a week of ministry meetings up until Thursday evening of the incoming week. The moderator, the Reverend Samuel Murray, speaking from 1 Corinthians 13 on the subject of Christian charity. The Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony They're publishing a new book to mark Dr. John Douglas's 90th birthday. We did mention it the night that Mr. Douglas was here to preach at the Harvest. The title of the publication is The Land and the Book, God's Future Dealings with Israel. It's a subject that's very close to Mr. Douglas's heart. He preached a series of messages in the Newton Abbey Church a number of years ago. So there's going to be a special launch of that book on Thursday night, the 30th of November at 7:30. It's going to be held in the SGAT's, the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony's new property down in Lisburn. Dr. Douglas will be present. He'll give a little talk that night on Israel, and he'll be available to sign copies of the new book as well. You need a ticket to go to the book launch. The tickets are free. The purpose of the tickets is just to give some indication to help with seating and catering arrangements for that night. So if you'd like to have one of those tickets or more, let me know about that as soon as you can. We were sorry to hear during the time we were off of the death of Jim Cross's brother, Charlie. Charlie's also Wallace's cousin. We'd admitted mentioning that in previous announcements. So we do want to assure Jim and Wallace and the family, all the family circles of our prayers just at this time. I had been speaking to Jim, speaking to Charlie during the time that he was in hospital. For a time he was in the same ward as our brother Norman, so the opportunity to see him as well and read and pray with him also. He was in good form and had been making a good recovery up until just a week or shortly under a week before he passed away. So we're sorry to learn of that. We do pray the families will know the comfort of the Lord just at this time. Remember those that have been unwell, especially our brother Peter. Peter Gorman, you know that he had a fall, had to have surgery on his leg. He's been unwell, quite seriously ill during the past week. He took a chest infection. He had got very weak. We're thankful that he made an improvement yesterday. Grace gave us an update again this morning, and he is much better this morning, much better than he was on Friday, just at the end of the week. So we're very pleased to hear that. So do remember our brother Peter. Remember the family as well as they deal just with those circumstances at this time too. So we're going to come to another hymn. I think those are all the matters. A couple of verses, just of 5:7-4, before we come to the scriptures. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of his hand. The first two verses, 5:7-4, will stand to sing, please.
Of refuge in
Let's just pray together. Father, we do rejoice that you're our refuge. We thank you for the words we sang a little earlier, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We pray, Father, for all in this church, this congregation, that are experiencing times of trial and trouble. We pray that you'll be their defense. We pray you'll be their shelter. Even at this particular time, remember Brother Peter. We thank you, Father, for prayer answered for him already. We pray for your good hand to rest upon our brother. May he continue to know an improvement in his health and in his condition just at this time. Mindful for Brother Norman too. Pray he'll continue to strengthen him. Remember Brother Ken as well. Ask that he would know the presence of the Lord and the help of God just at this time. We acknowledge, Father, we miss all of these dear folks and others from our presence here in these meetings. And our cry is that they will know the presence of the Lord just at this time. Remember Ella Rose as well. May the hand of God be upon our young sister. We ask that she will know in a very definite way in these days the touch of God. Remember Ruth as well, the family. We pray that you'll uphold them and sustain them. Lord, we're conscious of many of our families passing through times of trial. Just at this time, we ask that you will uphold each one of them with the right hand of your righteousness. Remember those that mourn at this time. We think of Jim and our brother Wallace, the family circle. Draw near to them. We thank you for blessing Charlie with a good long life. We thank you, Father, especially for blessing him with eternal life. We rejoice that he was a child of thine and that he lived his life faithfully in support of the cause of the gospel. We're mindful as well of the Castles family just bereaved in recent times as well, David and Edith, and pray that they too will continue to know the comfort of the Lord just at this time. Lord, hear our cries. Be with us now. We pray you'll prepare our hearts, and we ask thee to come and minister to us, speak to us. We ask, Lord, for a word in season from thee today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings 6 and the verse 30, please. It tells us, "And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh." I want to speak for a few minutes on the subject of the man or the person with the secret care. Maybe that's a description of some in the meeting. Maybe that's an apt description of you today. The person with the secret care. We read here of the king of Israel. Remember, at this time in Israel's history, the kingdom is divided. The northern kingdom is Israel. The southern is Judah. The king at this time was Jehoram. He's walking upon the walls of Samaria. There's particular emphasis in the chapter upon his dress, upon his appearance, and particularly upon the fact that he had sackcloth below his robes. It's maybe one of those details we can pass over very quickly. He had been walking upon the walls of the city of Samaria, and as he did so, he encountered two ladies with a very sad, even a very tragic story to tell. Such was the extremity of the siege, the starvation that prevailed, that they had resorted to boiling and eating one of their children, one of their sons, with the promise from the other lady that she would give her son for them to boil and eat the next day. But she reneged on the agreement, reneged on the promise, and that's what the other lady was bringing to the attention of Jehoram as they come out to view his kingdom and view particularly the circumstances in Samaria at that particular time. Whenever he heard the story, the verse says, when the king heard the words of the woman, even though he was a wicked man, his heart was touched. He was spoken to by the story that she had to tell, and he rent his garments. You see, the people could see the robes as he passed by, but no one knew about the sackcloth that he had below. It was only when he rent his robe, his outer garment, that the sackcloth was revealed. The sackcloth, remember in the Bible, it speaks of, it shows grief. And the king was grieved. He was sorely grieved. Grieved for the siege that was taking place. He was deeply grieved for the situation that prevailed in his kingdom at that particular time. So the sackcloth showed his grief, his concern, and his mourning. There's other examples of that in the scriptures. Remember whenever David's child took ill, the child that he had with Bathsheba, the Bible says that he got down before the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. He sought the Lord earnestly that he might be pleased in mercy to spare the child. The Bible says in the book of Jonah that when the city of Nineveh repented from the least to the greatest, that they did so in sackcloth and in ashes. It showed the depth of their repentance at that particular time. So the sackcloth shows the grief of the king. No one knew. No one was aware. As they saw the king on other days, it was as if he was unmoved by all that was taking place in his kingdom. So no one was aware of the deep burden that was upon his heart. So we could describe him, as we think of him in this situation, in this passage, as the man, the king, with the secret care. And the fact is, there are many such people like that. There are many people, even among God's people, many among the Lord's people, that have secret cares and secret burdens upon their heart. Outwardly, those people look fine. As you see them, as you meet them doing business, as you meet them in town, they look normal. They look as if all is well. All is going well in their home, and all is going well in their life and in their family. You think they have no worries, no fears, no troubles. Just like the king had his robe over the sackcloth, sometimes we get good at being able to disguise, to cover how we really feel, what is really going on in our hearts. But inwardly, even though those people look as if there's no worries, inwardly and secretly, there's a very different story. Many people can be sad, unhappy. Many people are worried, very worried, about what is going on in their life. And many people can be grieving, as the sackcloth indicated for Jehoram at this particular time. They have something on their heart. Those people have something that is hidden from the view of others, but in reality it's something that's breaking their heart at that particular time. Something that no one else knows anything about. I wonder, is that how you find yourself today? Carrying a secret care, carrying a secret burden. If it is, can I say to everybody, even those that have such a burden, it's important for us all to realize that it may be true of others also. Sometimes when we're in those circumstances, when we're been weighed down in the burdens and the pain that we're experiencing, we get a little bit of tunnel vision. And the only person that we can see, the only person we can think about is ourselves. And that's understandable when you're going through such a trying experience. But it's good, as you think of how you feel today, realize there may be others around you, even in church this morning, that are having a similar experience. You don't know what someone else is passing through. That's true of us all. We don't know what someone else that we meet them regularly, we have regular dealings with them. We just don't know what someone else is having to deal with, having to cope with. in their life. Remember the words of Samuel, or the words of the Lord to Samuel. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Remember that the meaning of those words is we can only see the outward. That's as far as we are able to see. It's only God that can see the heart. We can't see people's hearts and the burdens that are weighing down upon them. So realize this morning, brethren and sisters, others may have a secret care. Others might have a secret burden, secret concern, something that they're not able to reveal, something because of the situation they're not able to talk about freely and openly to others. The only person in many of those situations that people can talk about those circumstances to is the Lord himself. If their heart was made bare, you would see the sackcloth, just as it was for Jehoram when he rent his robe and the people saw the sackcloth within. If the hearts of those people with that burden, that care, if that was made clear today, you would see the sackcloth upon their hearts as well. So may the Lord give us today a little bit of understanding, a little bit more concern, a little bit more compassion, a little bit more empathy as well, to be able to enter into the experience of others also. That secret care may be a physical care, maybe news about health, like the Apostle Paul, have a thorn in the flesh, a symptom has arisen, or symptoms, and that symptom has persisted, gone to the doctor, gone to see the consultant, and the results, the news has come back and it's not good. So coming to terms with that sort of news, coming to terms with your condition, the condition of your health, that's not easy. Even as a child of God, needs much grace, takes time. And sometimes when that happens, people don't tell others, don't tell many others, even in the family circle. Remember that those sort of physical cares, that's especially true of those who reach middle age and onwards. Too many birthdays, all the strain, all the wear and tear of life. So physical cares, those get a little more common as the days and the years go by. Think as well that that secret care could be a domestic care to do with the home, do with the family. Remember, brethren and sisters, the family is under attack. It's under great attack in the days in which we live. And the devil will seek to do all that he can to cause trouble in the home. Maybe trouble with a child, trouble with a grandchild. Maybe there's a prodigal in your home, a prodigal in your family that's weighing down heavily upon you, brought up well in the things of God, brought along faithfully to God's house. You just can't take it in. You just can't understand how that child has got away so far from the Lord and from the things of God. Maybe the trouble is to do with a partner. The marriage bond is not good. Maybe an unfaithful partner. Sad when that arises. Maybe the secret care, the secret trouble is to do with relatives. Remember the story of Esau and the wives that he married. The Bible says that they were a grief of mind unto his parents at that particular time. That's actually, just to note it for you, that's the first mention in all the Bible of the word grief. So it had to do with relationships within the family, a grief of mind. Sometimes the situation can seem impossible. You have tried, you've done all that you can to be able to deal with it, to sort it out, but you've failed, and you find yourself in the position today that you just don't know what to do. You don't know what direction to turn. So it can be a domestic care. Think as well of something very relevant in these days, the financial cares, an unexpected bill that comes along. Maybe something breaks down. To put it right, to mend it, And the repairs are going to be very, very expensive. Maybe for some it's the news of a redundancy that's coming, the loss of business, the loss of an income. It's a blow to you. It's a blow to your family. In fact, it's probably more accurate to say that it's a great blow to you and your family. It came at an unexpected time. That sort of trouble never comes at a good time, or that sort of news never comes at a good time. It couldn't have been worse for you. The future is very, very bleak indeed. It's interesting if you read the life of J.C. Ryle, the man who became the first Protestant Bishop of Liverpool in the Church of England. His family, the family that he was brought up in, was a very wealthy family. His parents were bankers. But the family business went bankrupt. The bank went bankrupt. And that was something that weighed upon J.C. Ryle's heart all his life. He felt it was a very bad testimony for his family. Many people, when they met J.C. Ryle, they found him, they didn't think he was very well dressed. They didn't think he was as well dressed as he could have been. Some of the clothes, some of the suits that he wore seemed to be quite well worn. But there's a very good reason for that, because J.C. Ryle determined that he was going to do all that he could to pay the debts of the family. So he didn't spend an awful lot of money on himself, on his clothes and so forth. He saved up money, and one by one he paid off the debts that his family had incurred whenever the bank went bankrupt. So financial care, some even of the prominent people among God's servants have had to deal with those as well. You think of moral cares, the inner struggle with sin and self, the good that I would, I do not. Remember, Paul spoke about that in the book of Romans. There's an inner struggle. Sometimes some have a greater struggle with those sort of things than others, dominating sins that seem to continually defeat the child of God, things that you can't get the victory over. And when you can't get the victory over, then it causes you great guilt, feelings of guilt in your heart and in your life. And then the devil will play upon that to bring you down even further. For example, some after conversion have struggled with things like smoking and with bad language. Others don't know about those struggles, even others of God's people. And when they hear about people with those type of struggles, they pour scorn and can look down upon them. It's something that quite a number among the Lord's people know very little or anything about. But it can weigh deeply, heavily upon the hearts of those that have to contend and face those types of difficulty. It's good, brethren and sisters, we ought to realize and think about those things, that some people do have those sort of cares. Some of God's people have those sort of burdens like those sort of things that are secretly upon their hearts. Secretly they're dealing with that from day to day and week to week. One other area I'll emphasize is church cares. Sometimes they fall under that category as well. Can I say to you, you need to realize how great the responsibility is for office bearers of the church, how great the responsibility they have can be. Can I point out to you, there's more to running a church than many of the Lord's people know, many of the Lord's people realize. There's more to running a church than just turning up at the regular meetings in the house of God. Many men that have been elected to office for the first time have said that they didn't know before, they didn't appreciate just how much an office bearer had to do, how much time, how much demands were included, were involved in all of that work and all of that responsibility. There are all sorts of situations to contend with. all sorts of decisions to make and all sorts of jobs to be done, continually contending with difficulties, problems, obstacles, all those things that face the work of God. Some of those things can be very worrying. At times, they are circumstances that threaten to damage and do damage to the reputation and the witness of the cause of the gospel in the church over which they have responsibility. And they have to determine, with God's help and guidance, what is the best thing to do, what is the best course to take. Is it any wonder Paul spoke about the care of all the churches? The care of one church in itself can be quite significant, but he talks about the care of all the churches. So I encourage you today to understand office bearers have cares and concerns that the membership of the church don't have to deal with, don't have to contend with. And I encourage you to remember that and to be aware of it, and to pray that they will know the help of God in those circumstances too. So secret cares, brethren and sisters, I've emphasized to you the reality of it. I've suggested to you some significant, some key areas of life where we can have those secret cares. Maybe you can identify with some of those things we've said this morning. Just to finish, I want to emphasize to you some of the lessons that we ought to learn from secret cares. I want to impress those in your heart. For one thing, let me emphasize the need to be careful what you say. You know the little chorus, "So be careful, little lips, what you say." You know, there's times we're not very careful. It's not right. There's times we have something said before we realize what we did say, and the damage is done. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you say about others. We are very quick to speak, whereas the Bible says we should be slow to speak and slow to wrath and swift to hear. John Wesley, the evangelist, he normally dressed with like a bow tie, not the sort of bow tie we're familiar with today, the sort of bow tie that you actually tied. You put it round your neck. Sometimes you might see it in the cowboy films, but a little longer. His dangled down quite a bit over his chest. When he was at a meeting on one occasion, a lady came and she assaulted him. Well, not physically assaulted him, verbally assaulted him about his dress and about this bow tie. And she told him that the bow tie was far, far too long. So you can just imagine what he had to listen to. And she proceeded to get a pair of scissors and to cut John Wesley's bow tie without asking for his permission. Whenever he was finished, or she was finished, he asked the lady for the scissors. And then he said to her, "Would you please stick out your tongue?" That was his response. At times you might be tempted to do something like that. We can at times, brethren and sisters, be very quick to judge. Very quick to judge others. Very quick to pass remarks. Isn't it true? We sometimes use the expression "very pass remarkable." Very quick to criticize. That critical spirit can very easily enter into our hearts and into our conversation. We're very quick to run down, very hard on other people. If somebody doesn't smile, if somebody doesn't talk too much, we can have an awful lot to say about them. Remember, they may have a secret care. They may have a secret burden weighing them down, dragging them down. A secret burden on their heart that is crushing their heart at that particular time. They may have nothing to smile about. They may find it very difficult to talk in those circumstances. So brethren and sisters, be careful. Be careful what you say. Don't be so quick to speak, to pass comment. Be a little more charitable to others in their circumstances. Not as hard, not as judgmental to the people that we meet, the people that are around us. Let us be a little more like Barnabas. Be an encourager of the people of God. Settle that in your mind. You're going to be an encourager of everybody that you meet from day to day. So be careful what you say. And also be careful how you pray. How you pray for others. It's easy, very easily we faint in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's times we know more about the fainting than we do about the praying. Very easy to faint in the place of prayer. Maybe that's true of some here as far as the prayer meeting of the church is concerned. And it's very easy to faint, especially in our prayers for others. Can I encourage you this morning, don't neglect intercessions. In other words, don't just pray about yourself. Remember, intercessions is a particular type of prayer. It's praying for others. The Lord Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's seated at the Father's right hand in the glory, and he's praying for you and I. What a blessing that is. So don't neglect the ministry of intercession as far as your prayers are concerned. Don't think that all is well. Always think that there's no problems in somebody else's life or family, and then you stop praying for them. How wrong at times that can be, brethren and sisters. The Apostle Paul said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Isn't that quite a statement? Always. In every prayer, not just now and again, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. So that's setting a high standard. That's a challenge for us, but it's an example to follow. Samuel said to the children of Israel, Dr. Douglas, the night he was with us at the harvest, preached on the passage, 1 Samuel 12, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He's one of the great examples in the Bible of prayer warriors and intercessor, prayed for the people. It's a sin to cease to pray, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I emphasize especially the part ceasing to pray. Be careful how you pray for others. Don't cease to pray for your family and for your church family, for those that are around you. The reality, brethren and sisters, while you're on earth, others need your prayers. Just take a moment to get a hold of that. While you're here on earth, others need your prayers. Others in your family, others in your circle of friends, others in the church. And while you're here on earth, you need the prayers of others. None of us ever get beyond the place where we can do without the prayers of others. It's a mistake for us ever to think about that. So some lessons about people with the secret care, or a person with the secret care. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you treat that person. And be careful how you pray, especially the need to continue in prayer for them. So the person with the secret care. Let us learn, brethren and sisters, as we think of these things, let us learn to be a little more kind. Paul said to the Ephesian believers, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. There's the standard, God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. So let us learn to be a little more kind, and let us learn to be a little more loving, a little more charitable, the one to the other. So I pray the Lord will bless and encourage, even comfort your heart from his word today. 474, please. John Muir's lovely hymn, days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. 474. I'll go to the door after the first verse and chorus, and if you're not able to remain, you'll have opportunity to leave the service at that time.